It's inevitable that during a civil war, thousands of people will flee their homes, their towns, their country, because they feel in danger. It's what's happening in Syria right now. Millions are being displaced, and some are travelling thousands of miles to try to get to the UK. Not many, hundreds at the most. And if they journeyed in a more or less straight line, they'd pass through Turkey, Bulgaria, Serbia, Hungary, Austria, Germany, Belgium, and finally Calais in northern France first. They are desperate to get to Britain, though, and consider risking their lives to try and reach Dover.
Britain will give you out straight away.
Who's told you that?
What do you mean, who's told you that? We know, we are, our friend is there, live there, we get phone call, we go.
So it's like you know people who've done that already?
Yeah, a lot of people, they cross that border by the lorry.
The deputy mayor of Calais has told this programme that Britain is the country Syrian refugees want to come to because it's regarded as a paradise for people trying to start new lives. And Philippe Mignonnet is warning that mafia gangs are making millions from the suffering of migrants fleeing the conflict in Syria. He says people traffickers are charging £10,000 to £12,000 to smuggle an individual to Europe from across the Middle East.
The only thing they want is not to stay in France, is to go to England. It's because the mafias, because now we have to talk about mafias, in their original countries, those people are saying, if you go to England, you'll have everything. You'll have a house, you will have money, you'll have a job. Your family will be able to join you after a certain time.
The French government has offered Syrian refugees there the chance to apply for asylum in France. Despite that, it's estimated that every day 50 to 100 Syrians try to make the journey to Britain. The government here says legal and illegal migration in France is the responsibility of the French authorities. Five Live's Leslie Ashmole is in Calais for us this morning.
Yeah, Victoria, I suppose the French call this a small campsite. It is a piece of waste ground. It's an old, disused railway line right beside the port at the edge of a car park. It is a mess. There are probably about 20, 30 tents. And when I say tents, some of them are old, battered up tents. They don't all have their poles. Some of them are just tarpaulin sheets strung between hedges. The place is filthy. There are black plastic bags being used as sort of ground sheets, I guess. There is rubbish everywhere. These people have sodden, filthy blankets that they've been using for months now. Old, battered up sleeping bags. And probably at the moment there are about 30 men just hanging around. They get one meal a day provided for them by a local charity. It is no place to live. It is really terrible, right on this disused railway line. And they actually rip up bits of wood from the railway line to build fires every night to keep warm. It is incredibly cold on this open bit, and they're just trying to get on these lorries to get to Britain.
I'll ask you about that journey in the moment, but tell us a little about some of the journeys the refugees have made to get to that point from Syria.
Yeah, well, as you said, Victoria, the journeys that they've made already, they've come through Jordan, some of them have been in Greece, some of them have been in Cyprus, Turkey, Italy, they've come in on boats, and they've just come through France, Belgium, as you say, you name it. They have come here, and this is their destination. This is where they want to be, because they think that 30 miles or 20-odd miles across the water, they will find a home. They've spent months getting to this far, and some of them are staying here for months. You'll speak to some in a minute.
Why do they want to come to the UK, having travelled through all those other countries first?
Well, as you say, a lot of them have paid money to criminal gangs to get here. Criminal gangs say Britain is the place to be. They think that they will get benefits. Some of them have family there. Some of them think they will get houses here. They point out that they're not being housed in France. Let me take you on a little trip around the camp with Nathaniel Kalou, who's from a local charity which helps them, provides food once a day. He told me a little bit more about this place.
So this camp is one of the many camps that there is all around Calais, but also on other places.
And they want to come, they're here because they want to come to Britain. Why don't they just stay in France?
First they're here because they are refugees. They are refugees because they are fleeing either personal persecution or internal conflict. They don't think that there is any solution for them in France. they don't think this because they speak English, and they believe that to start a new life, it would be better for them to do it in a country from which they speak the language. They also have their community there.
Who tries to get them to Britain? Because a lot of them are smuggled by gangs, so, aren't they?
So it's one of the problems of putting them in such a desperation position is that it gives more power to the smugglers, more power to the mafia. The only person they feel that can really help them is the smuggler, is the mafia, that can continue the exploitation of these people.
Let's go and meet some of them. We've got Amir, who's just 16 years old, Ahmed and Ali as well. Ali's been here for 3 months.
We sleep here, raining, weather cold, and we got problem with the police. Police always, they come to here, they make trouble for us. And we don't know where we're going, you know. We lost the way, we lost the life, we lost everything.
This is a campsite on a waste ground, isn't it? There are about 10 tents, a bit shabbily erected. Some of them have holes in them now. Some of them are actually just blue tarpaulins. And there are about 40, 50 people from Syria here?
More than 50 people, maybe like 80 people. Some people is not sleeping here. Some people, they go another park, they sleep, because here is very cold. At night, you can't sleep here.
It's on an old railway line. We're actually standing on a railway line. Tell me about your conditions. Maybe you could show me your tent.
Actually, we got water come in, inside.
Water leaks in. Yeah, I can see that.
In. If you see water come in.
Yeah. It's absolutely filthy. I mean, there's litter everywhere. It's really
and
bad.
And all water very bad, but we don't have place to go.
How old are you, Amir?
16.
16 years old. You've got a brother here as well, who's 8 or 9 years old. Your family?
Yeah.
All here?
Yeah. We come and go to London.
Why do you want to go to Britain? Why not stay in France?
Because my father in London. And
France doesn't treat you very well. You have to play Solomon here. You have to sleep in the tent until 4 or 5 months. So how are you going to play Solomon here if you have no place to sleep?
You don't think the French will treat you well?
No, it's not. Even no. You ask people, you play Solomon here, you have to wait at least 4 months. You sleep where? In the street?
So do you think it would be better in Britain?
Britain will give you a house straight away. They will give you a place to sleep until you give your paper, refuse or stay. But the Syrian people, they will get paper straight away. But
you think you will go to Britain on a truck across on the ferry?
What can we do?
And you'll get a house straight away?
Yes. Yes, they will give you. 100%.
Who's told you that?
What do you mean, who told you that? We know, we are, our friend is there, live there, we get phone call, we go.
So it's like you know people who've done that already?
Yeah, a lot of people, they cross that board by the lorry.
A lot of people in Britain think Britain is too full and we can't have any more people in Britain.
This is a human right. The Syria has got a problem, man. Why if the dog in the street, if has a problem, they take to hospital? What's the between different the dog and human?
Actually, just if French, they look after us, they give to pay, they give to paper and they give us house. We know we don't have problem. We apply to the French. You sleep in the road, yeah?
Do you think it would be any easier in Britain, though?
Britain, actually, they look after people, you know? They don't let people sleep in the road.
So you think Britain's kinder than other parts of Europe?
Yeah, and second one, most of these people speak English. They don't speak French. It's not easy.
What would you say to the British people who don't want you coming into the country because they say Britain can't afford to have you? What would you say?
Actually, we said to them, please, should help us. If British people come sleep here 1 day, 2 days, they know what's the life in here. If British they go to Syria, they know what's the life.
Have you tried to cross to Britain yet?
I tried 2 times. I don't go. One time in the control, they catch me. One time.
How did you try?
I tried by trailer.
You were smuggled? You paid money?
No, we go free.
You tried to hide in a trailer?
Yeah, hiding. Some people hiding under the trailer. It's very dangerous. Under down to Tyra.
Old man is disappeared now. 3 days, 4 days, maybe. Maybe he's with the conscious in the car because he called us. He said no oxygen in the car. Now it's 3-4 days. He's disappeared.
What is your life like here? What do you do every day? Tell me what your life is like here.
He doesn't do anything special. He's just waiting for the food distribution, and then he just waits here. Each night he tries to go over to England.
Every night you try. How does he try?
Most of the times he tries to get under the cars, put himself under the car and try to go on the boat like this. I'm very scared, but I have no choice.
Is this your little brother?
Yeah.
How old is your brother?
10 years.
He's 10 years old. Yeah. Does he try to get under the cars?
Yeah.
He hangs on under a car at the age of 10 years old?
Yes.
Just to get to Britain?
Yeah.
You want to see his father?
You want to see your father?
Nothing more.
You want to see your dad?
Abiko Muktuma fi Britannia?
No,
okay.
Just
your father in
just
in
his father. It's long time he's go to England.
I mean, that's terrifying. It's so dangerous.
I tell you something. This guy is allowed to go to under the trailer. It's very dangerous. Yeah, many people
16,
die.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16. They fell down. Trailer, they go very fast. They fell down.
Will you try again tonight?
Yeah, try tonight as well.
Sure.
This is a big lorry park just outside Calais. It's after 11 o'clock at night. I've seen several people, maybe 3 or 4 people, running across the lorry park. They've run over the railway tracks, the Eurotunnel tracks. I can see a police car as well in the distance. It's trying to check that no one is sneaking into those lorries. But over the course of this evening, I've probably seen about 25 people dressed in dark clothing, lurking around the lorries. What they're trying to do is to find a lorry that's maybe open or to find a trailer that they can hide underneath to make the perilous journey to Britain. I'm just driving along the road now, a little bit closer to where I saw that police car, and there is a big group of people walking towards me. They look like refugees. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, I'm from BBC Radio. Are you refugees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're trying to get to Britain?
Ah, yeah. Yes.
Tonight?
Yeah.
And did the police stop you?
Yeah.
What did they say to you?
They said, come, go back.
They told you to go back to your camp?
Yeah.
Well, it's estimated that around 2.1 million people have fled the fighting in Syria. 97% of them have gone to neighbouring countries like Turkey and Jordan, and about 0.1% of them are living in the UK. The latest Home Office statistics show that 702 Syrians applied for asylum. Between January and June this year, 81 had their applications turned down. Well, let's talk now to the leader of the Conservative members of the European Parliament and MEP for South East England, which covers the port of Dover, Richard Ashworth. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Mikhail Sacconi, the European Commission spokesperson for Home Affairs. Hello to you.
Hello, good morning.
Mikhail Sacconi, under EU regulations, refugees fleeing their home country should seek asylum in the first safe country they reach.
Well, there are a number of criteria that apply. It's according to the Dublin regulation. And this means that there must be just only one country who is responsible and competent for assessing their asylum request. This depends very much from how they enter the territory. If they enter regularly via visa, for example, then it's the country that's released the visa. If they entered irregularly, then the principle is that the country where they first entered the European Union is responsible for assessing their request. Then there are other cases linked to resettlement, and this is member states who are getting these people directly from refugee camps, bringing them safely to the EU, like many Syrians are, for example, in Germany and in Sweden like this. And in that case, it's specifically the member states who carries out the resettlement.
Right. So for those that have arrived eventually in Calais, having travelled through other European countries first, what should happen to them?
Well, this depends also from their will to request asylum, because you cannot force anyone to request for to file an asylum request. So their will is crucial from this point of view. But
so are you saying that if somebody wanted to come to Britain, even though they may have travelled through other European countries first, then that is their right to try and get there and then apply for asylum there?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are clear European rules when it comes to establishing the country competent for assessing an asylum request. But an asylum request depends from the will of the person. If someone asks for asylum, then the country is obliged, and it is clear, to assess the request. But if the person does not assess for request for asylum, then you cannot force him. But this said, I think, just more in general, I think we should make clear a couple of things there. It's very appalling, the situation of these people, and it's really something that should be addressed. But let's not forget that when we talk about Syrians asking for asylum in the EU, in 3 years there have been around 50,000, with a recognition rate of around 95%, mm-hmm. and 35,000 of them have arrived in Germany and Sweden. So let's also see that in general terms, what is happening is that Europe is showing a lot of solidarity towards Syrian nationals.
Including Britain?
Including Britain, because there are around 2,700 that have been requests that have been filed to the UK. But clearly, it is something that stems also from international obligation. Let's not just think that asylum is a kind of act of generosity that we do. It is something that we are obliged to, and also that responds to the core values upon which the European Union is founded, not to mention the fact that there are international obligations like the Geneva Convention.
Richard Ashworth, how do you respond to the stories from some of the Syrians in Calais that we heard from there?
I think the one thing which disturbed me most about your report was that Syrians gave evidence that they'd been detected by French authorities trying to smuggle through the English Channel. And the French authorities appeared to be saying, oh, we'll go back to your camp, you're not allowed through here. In other words, effectively saying, try again some other time, we don't want to know. Well, that's a dereliction of their duty. Their lawful obligation is to return those people, as the previous speaker has just said, under the Dublin Agreement, to the point of entry into the European Union, because they are unlawful migrants. They should be returning them to the point of entry into the European Union. At that point, they have to apply for asylum to the EU.
Okay.
Not law dispensed by police at Calais.
I understand. Michael Sacconi, then, so are the French authorities not doing what they are supposed to be doing and returning these refugees to the first place of entry to Europe?
Well, it's very difficult, because it's a very sensitive case. We are there talking about people who have fled their country because there's a civil war, so they're in principle entitled to international protection, but this can be given only if they request it. So it is clear that for national authorities, also according to what is called the European Directive, which is the Return Directive, the aim is to make clear that whoever is staying on their territory is considered definitely to be an irregular migrant, and then return should apply or other kind of measures. Or on the other hand, they have to have a legal possibility to stay on their territory. Certainly just ignoring people who are clearly in a grey zone like the ones in Calais does not help solving this problem, and certainly more must be done in order to ascertain whether they are entitled to asylum, if they are economic migrants, and then follow up according to national laws and legislation.
Richard Ashworth, is in terms of those refugees at Calais who, as we've heard, do want to come to Britain for a variety of reasons, actually, is this nothing to do with the UK at the moment, as far as they're concerned?
Well, at the moment it isn't. If they're illegal migrants, they're there in France, it's technically not our problem. But look, I think there are three things the United Kingdom needs to do here. Firstly, we do recognise the tragedy which is unfolding in the Middle East. And I think people should remember that the United Kingdom has a good record here. We are second only to the European Union, the largest donors of aid to the refugee crisis on the borders of Syria. That's the right thing to be doing. We also need to make it quite clear that Britain has learnt the lessons of 10 years ago, that you can't have open floodgates, you can't have uncontrolled migration, that actually it is now much more difficult to get through the ports because the security is better. It's much more difficult to claim benefits and rights to NHS and housing than it was those all that time ago. And so a lot of these migrants have got completely the wrong message. But also, we need to be cooperating more with other European nations to reinforce the border control. Frontex is the right agency to make sure that we don't have these tragedies at sea like we've been seeing at Lampedusa just lately. That Frontex, we know that when the helicopters and boats are seen to be patrolling the borders, that it actually shuts down the immigration flow so that we know who is coming then. We can process them, we can give permits where appropriate, but we can stop this illegal migration, which is the real problem.
Final thought to you, Michael Saccone, as the European Commission spokesperson for Home Affairs. What is the European Commission's view on the mafia gangs, the illegal industry which has sprung up, which can ask for £10,000, £12,000 for refugees to be smuggled into the country that they would like to go to?
Well, this is the core problem. This is the problem at its roots. And this affects not only within EU, the European countries in the EU, but this is the problem in third countries of origin and transit of this of most of the irregular migrants who arrive to Europe. This is why we have to step up cooperation with countries of origin and transit in order to fight these networks and these smugglers where they have their operational bases. And this is also a way to avoid tragedies like the one in Lampedusa, because these people don't get on the boat by themselves. They go there because there are traffickers, networks that make huge profits. Just one last word, if I may, yes. On Calais, the refugees. I would give a message that would, I think, be a possible solution. When we talk about resettlement, which basically means avoiding that people have to put their lives at risk in these deadly journeys to come to the EU, this is something that could solve also the problem of people in Calais, because more efforts in order to resettle people who are in need of international protection would also allow to have lists under the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, and also to try to accommodate requests of people who want to join their families or family members around Europe. And this would certainly help avoiding this kind of bottlenecks and grey zones like the one that we see in Calais. We need member states to do more efforts for resettlement, that's for sure.